This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, the place to go for advanced dental technology and compassionate, patient-centred care. You can trust your smile with an expert team that puts your comfort first. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Good evening and welcome everybody. Can you all see me okay? Council, can I get an approval of the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes of the May 20th, 2025 regular meeting?
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Enter into a public hearing for retail liquor license application, Hotel Juliet LLC, DBA, Bombshells American Cantina, located at 58 Northside Creek. Anybody like to comment? Any public comment?
I would like to know, this is a retail liquor license, it's on or off sales, right?
Correct.
I guess I'd like to know what the plans are, since we don't have a whole inventory of these things laying around. You know, what's the plans and what, are the people local or do they live somewhere else and are coming in and...
Mr. Elgers.
Oh, we got answers here coming.
But that's not a public info. Yeah.
So, Mr. Madden, Councilman Madden, we are Bombshells LLC, Bombshells American Cantina. So it'll be a bar restaurant. It'll be kind of a 1940s, 1950s era kind of officers club. We're going to serve people that serve, give back to the, first responders, teachers,
law enforcement,
pretty much try to give back to the community too. We want to give something to the town that it doesn't have, something unique, some kind of fresh, something kind of get people out and moving groove. So,
sir, if I may, I was a senior federal agent with the U.S. government as a career, but before that, I grew up in the restaurant industry and being also serving in the U.S. military overseas. The one thing I noticed that military bases have that most small communities don't is a sense of fraternity. And so what we wanted to do is create an environment where everybody in Buffalo can come out and attend and have a wonderful time, al fresco dining, signature cocktails. This is not a roadhouse bar. We are not trying, by the way, we are all local. So we're not trying to just push booze on the city. What we're trying to do is create a fun, safe environment where everybody from the local area is gonna wanna come out. And basically, we celebrate our country. We have basically war memorabilia. That's museum quality. That's going to be on display for anybody to look at. Anybody can touch it.
Free of charge.
Yeah, free of charge. Cost you a penny.
Except
you
got to
bring a good sense of humor.
Yeah, a good sense of humor.
But we've got old military jeeps that were in World War II and the Korean War that we're going to convert into seats where people can sit down outside and have a sandwich or something like that. So just kind of bring some of that to this community and something that will attract more businesses from around Casper, Gillette, Sheridan, to come in and also enjoy this as well.
That's encouraging. That sounds like just what I was hoping to hear. So when will you be in business then?
So August 1st is our target date. So that gives us probably about a month and a half to really start doing a lot of work. We did already speak to the city about creating a large alfresco deck, covered deck out front for clientele as well with period correct music. And again, I think it should be, I think the community is really going to welcome it.
I think it'll be a good thing for Buffalo, really.
Yeah,
thank
you. Hours are not going to be super late, you know, typical for what you find in a small town. Probably on the weekdays, close around 9 or 9:30 on the weekends. Last call is at 10. Everybody's home sleeping in bed by 10:30 or 11.
Yeah, that's about when we roll up the sidewalks in this town.
Yes, sir.
I remember when Tucker used to weigh less than his arms. Do you know?
I grew up.
Thank you. That's
yes, do you have any more questions we can address for you?
No, now I understand. I didn't know, you know, sometimes we have these come in and you got a name associated with them and you associate the name with something.
We decided to do the LLC in a name we use because I do have a public presence. And I want to avoid necessarily, you know, that we're trying to keep it somewhat discreet and keep it focused for a family type environment.
Good deal.
Yes, sir.
If you have any other questions, you can always reach out to us, too.
You know where we live. We're not far.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Hearing no further public comment, we can close the public hearing. We'll move on to unfinished business. Unfinished business, ordinance 1424 on its second reading, and if we remember right, an ordinance providing an annual appropriations bill for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2026, in the amount of $12,973,723. Council, can I get a motion to approve ordinance 1424 on its second reading?
I'd move to approve ordinance 1424 on the second reading.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ordinance 1424 passes the second reading. On to new business. Can I get a motion to approve the hotel liquor license? It's application for Hotel Juliet LLC, DBA Bombshells American Cantina, located at 58 Northside Creek.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome to the business community again.
Thank you. Honor and privilege.
Pass that to the clerk, please. Next item on the agenda is Blacktooth Major Subdivision of Preliminary Plat Approval. Terry, can you walk us through this a little bit?
Yeah, I can give you a little bit on that. So on April 24th, application was made to the planning department for a subdivision for Blacktooth Homes, Jeff Albright. He's proposing what's existing here now is four lots. This would be a lot, this is a lot, this is a lot, and this is a lot. He's proposing to subdivide these lots this way, creating four lots into eight lots and putting duplexes on them. This went through planning and zoning last month on 5/27/25 and was approved, was recommended for approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission to you guys. You know, another look at this property here. These are actually four lots, not two, as they sit now.
Yeah.
Everything inside this blue circle, everyone got sent out. You know, a certified letter. 49 people got letters that were in that area, 300-foot radius area. From that, we got correspondence back from 24 of those people. 15 of them signing a consent form, nine saying a non-consent form, and so 25 of those people didn't respond at all. I think you got sent the recommendation from our consultant planning on his recommendation for you guys.
That was just like a pre-approval of what we're approving, because they still have to go plan and zone again, and then they have to work out the details
right
to to see if this even works.
Yeah, this is step one. It's a preliminary. Basically, the recommendation is it still has to go through a rezoning, so we're not debating a rezone right now. We're not debating a variance. We're just up for approval of the initial design of this. So it'll come back as a final plat.
Right, because they're going to look at it, and they're going to see a rendering of what it's going to look like to see if they're even in favor of that once they see it.
Yeah, you'll see a little more detail in it. Is what we've asked them to bring back during final plat stage. So during that final plat stage next month, you're going to see it run as a three-part application. It'll be a request for variance on the rear setbacks of the properties that they're proposing, and then the zone change from R1 to R2. And then if those go through, then it'll go into a final plat.
So that won't be in this month's plan and zoning meeting? It is this month?
Yes.
Any more questions from the council to Terry?
Are there occupied structures on that plat?
Right on that, right now there exists, there's a house here, there's a house on this lot, and there's like three trailer houses on this lot at the same time.
All
right. On this lot right now, all that's left is this existing house, which is going to be scheduled for demolition somehow, some way in the near future.
I'll drive by and take a look at it.
Hearing no more questions to Terry, can I get a motion to approve the Blacktooth Major Subdivision for the preliminary?
Are you going to allow comments from the board?
Yeah.
You can comment if you make the motion.
My name is Cynthia Cartier. My husband and I are residents and property owners within one block of properties of the properties on Tisdale and Wyoming Avenues. We did not get one of these notifications. It was only people who were like right across, you know, adjacent to the properties. Some of us were at last Thursday's planning and zoning meeting and shared our concerns for our neighborhood and for the town if this rezoning is allowed. This proposal for 8 units on lots that currently allow just one single family home per parcel is extreme. The planning and zoning meeting increased our concerns. As we learned, the city seemed to have no concern for how this rezoning would impact the neighborhood, the individual property owners, or the long-term integrity of historic downtown Buffalo. No guidelines or plans were shared to require the developer to build structures that would fit into the neighborhood or add value to the neighborhood that would result in actual benefits for the homeowners and neighbors. And it was also highly disconcerting that the developer has proposed to the fire department to burn the house on the property. He stated that he offered this to the department for training. We all imagined that this would save him time and money, and like the rezoning, would not be good for the neighborhood. Fires can get out of control, fires cause smoke, and fires are toxic. Most people in town are not in favor of rezoning lots to increase density, especially with structures that do not add appeal and value to neighborhoods in the town. If the town truly wanted to know how the citizens felt about adding density to downtown neighborhoods, I would imagine a large sign would have been posted on the property when the rezoning request was made. Instead, an 8x10 piece of white paper with small font is on the chain link fence. We walked by that property, drive by that property, we never even saw it. We had to be told it was there. This is why most people in town have no idea of this rezoning attempt, and even if they did, there's a shameful truth that native residents, longtime residents, and others who've been here shorter lengths of time don't go to town meetings or voice their opinion because they feel that the city officials will ignore the will of the people and do what they want anyway, so why waste their time? Why does it seem the town doesn't care what's best for downtown homeowners or about Buffalo developing in a way that will preserve and increase its integrity and charm over time? Other than replacing a distressed property, the city has not explained how this is going to be good for the neighborhood or the homeowners. Two single-family homes would be an improvement. This proposed project, however, is less of an improvement than leaving the property the way it is. At a time when property owners have been fixing up their homes in the downtown areas, this rezoning attempt has people concerned about putting any more money into their properties if this is the direction the city is going with downtown neighborhoods. This rezoning will add more traffic, more parking issues, and lower the property values of single-family homes. Is adding more housing more important than what's best for the integrity of historic Buffalo and what's best for the current homeowners? Thank you.
Can I get a motion to approve the Blacktooth Major Subdivision?
There's more comments.
There are more comments.
May I provide just a little bit more? Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Councilwoman, Councilman, thank you for the opportunity to provide some input on this proposal. My name is Bonnie Allison. I'm a homeowner at 379 South Wyoming Avenue. And in addition to what Cynthia brought forward as concerns, I spent some time looking at the 2007 Buffalo Comprehensive Plan and the 2024 Land Use Plan. This neighborhood is mapped for moderate density housing of 3 to 5 units per acre in the comprehensive plan. The proposal of 8 units on less than 1 acre meets the plan's definition of high density housing, and approaching the upper limit of high density housing within a moderate density area raises the question of what amenities should be required to mitigate concerns of the surrounding homeowners. After reviewing the comprehensive plan and the land use plan, I suggest design that matches the architecture and landscaping of adjacent homes, providing sidewalks, adequate on-site parking, private outdoor space for the health and safety of the tenants, and to reduce conflicts from parking congestion and trespass onto neighboring property. If these requirements cannot be met by the proposal, then another option could be reducing the density and offering city-owned vacant lots in R2 zoning for the developer to build affordable duplexes, as suggested in the comprehensive plan. Another mitigation to accelerated high-density development from both the comprehensive plan and the land use plan is more investment by the city to maintain and provide park and recreation spaces and facilities in the city of Buffalo. I appreciate your consideration of my input, and thank you for your time.
Any other comment?
Maybe somebody can explain what is the net effect on the density of what's allowed the way it is right now compared to what it will be with...
Sure. As of right now, 4 houses are allowed there.
I mean, those 4 houses fill up those 2 blocks, huh? Or lots.
Yeah, so as it sits now, a house can go here, a house can go here, a house can go here, and a house can go here. So he's adding 4 more houses. So a total of 8 houses he's allowed to do 4 right
there. Yeah.
So he's adding 4 more.
The density of 4 houses is what's the maximum right now.
Correct.
Okay.
So is it 4 structures is what he has, because the duplex is 1.
Well, right now, as I said, he could do 4 without any say from any of us. You know, this building permits a house here, house here, house here, and house here. He's splitting them this way, and so now you're going to have attached houses here, 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 and there.
Has there been 4 units on those properties in the past?
Right. Right now, there's a house and probably 4 trailer houses on between these 2 lots.
There's actually permitted 7 on all of those lots, is what the permit has for the
trailer. There's 7 right now?
Well, there can be.
Oh.
And I'm not privy to what permit you're talking about there, but...
There was one that, when I purchased the property, there was a permit for a trailer court on those lots.
That would have required a rezoning, though, I suppose, wouldn't it?
You know, honestly, I haven't really kept up with that because it's not my interest, but it could have.
And so by building code, he'll have to have 2 9x18 spots here, 2 9x18 spots here, 2 9x18, and so forth for off-street parking.
And where in the driveways would, I'm sorry, which way the house is facing?
So these ones will face towards
Farmland.
And these will face towards Thom. Yeah, the driveway.
And then there's, I guess, a driveway on each.
Yep, a driveway here, here, and here, here.
And what's off? Street parking available on Wyoming and Tisdale?
Wyoming Parmer, Thalman Parmerly.
Parmerly.
Yeah.
On the two end, east and west ends, it'd be street parking on that.
Right.
Correct. But they have to have two off-street spaces per unit. Yeah.
Correct.
So, Terry, again, what we're looking at tonight is just approving basically what P&Z Planning and Zoning has approved, and then they would, if we approve that tonight, they would work out the details to see if the project works or not, based on the rendering, what it's going to look like, what the how it's going to compare to the other properties in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we've asked Mr. Albright to bring back a little more detail if he makes it to the final plat stage, which at that time, like I said, it's a three-part application. Planning and Zoning will first have to approve the setback variance. What he's asked for is a setback variance in the rears of the property. I believe he's 19 or 16 foot something. Zoning ordinance says 20 foot rear setback. So he'll have to get approved for that. And then if they approve that, they'll go into a hearing for rezoning to an R2.
Yep.
And then if they approve that, then they can move into, here's the actual plat, land plat.
We're approving none of that tonight.
No.
That's
going to come back to you.
If it went through all that.
After it goes
through. So it still goes
through. We'll see a month from now after next PNZ meeting if it passes.
If it went through.
Correct.
So we're basically approving a preliminary plat, a conceptual plan, and allowing it to go forward to PNZ, but they still have to meet all the three criteria for that.
Yeah, and if there was a motion made, I would motion it as approval upon the rezone and the variance setbacks.
Contingent on those two. And,
yeah.
And then the lot split.
I mean, either way, it passes, if it doesn't pass those.
Then the concern about one of the structures being set on fire. Gomer's not here.
I think all that was about a practice burn as much as anything. We've done that before. For the fire department.
But okay, so that wasn't approved. That was just
That was just something that was talked about.
Okay.
Yeah. That's as far as I meant.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So if it is done at practice burn, they still have to haul off the remnants after the burn.
Well, so they have to, I think, make application to the EPA.
Yeah,
we have
it's not just a burn it down type of deal.
Process. I didn't know we'd done that before.
Can I ask a question real quick? Could the council approve this process moving forward, but reduce from 8 units to 4 units instead of just saying, yes, we're going to continue and try to cram 8 units on the property?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's already allowed to have 4 units without anything said.
Yeah,
that's true. So can they say that it doesn't matter, they're not going to approve 8 units?
Yes, they could just say no motion to approve the preliminary plan.
Yeah.
That saves a lot of time. And that is the reason to rezone from R1. Currently,
can I get your
R1
name for the record, since the gentleman behind you that's
I'm sorry?
Can we just get your name for the record?
Oh, yeah. Robert Worthing.
But we'd only he'd only be able to do the 8 units if they go to R2 today.
Are there other R2s in that area, Terry?
Not right in the area. As it sits now, this house here on this lot's a duplex already.
Is that on Parmerly across the street?
Yeah.
Is that Parmerly?
So that'd be this home right here is an existing duplex just across the street.
Do we have other R2s in Arland neighborhood?
Yeah.
Throughout the city?
So you got an R2 up here randomly. We got an R2 here. And then we got R3s, three R3s here. Another R3 here within two blocks.
What are the R3s?
These are, I think, six plexes or four plexes here, and these are duplexes.
Okay.
These are apartments.
I think there's even some storage units somewhere over in there.
So again, Miller's were sent out. 15 came back as positive, 9 came back
about what Terry just said about the response, I'm telling you, people don't respond because they think that you guys aren't going to care what they say. And so I think the percentage of responses or non-responses is really irrelevant. And, you know, Buffalo is riddled, you know, with distressed properties. But we are in a time right now that, you know, longtime residents have told us that they're seeing, you know, people fixing up homes and buying properties. And if the agenda is to start replacing distressed properties, increasing density, I wish you all would go and visit this property and imagine 8 units on this property. Already 4 units just seems tight. And Commissioner Myers did express concern at the planning and zoning meeting. He was the only one. And also concern that are these going to be nice? Are they going to look nice? Are they going to go, you know, with the neighborhood? We removed the distressed property. And we are building a new home, a single-family home. And when we bought our property, we verified that it was zoned for single-family. And our hope and belief was the neighborhood would improve over time. When you start taking down distressed properties and increasing density, and I'm telling you, if you went and saw this lot and imagine 8 units, and you're talking about parking, you're talking about, you know, when you add driveways on curb sides, you take away curbside parking. And so now you've got driveways, and guess where? When you've got 8 units, and the developer says he's going to sell them, chances are a lot of investors are going to buy these and rent them. And many rentals in town have multiple families living in them. And so where are all these people going to park in 8 units on this in this small little area? And, you know, we have put a ton of money into our property, many other people in our neighborhood, not just our neighborhood, but around Buffalo, around historic Buffalo, have done the same. And if you want that trend to continue, that it's not going to happen. We have had so many people say, you know, and we're really, you know, how much more money are we going to put into our property if this is the direction the city is going to go, you know? And so I just think that increasing from no housing to 4 housing, that is increasing density. Do you guys want fast, uncontrolled, unappealing growth? Or do you want slow, thoughtful growth that is going to improve and preserve the integrity of Buffalo?
We are looking for someone to be on the Planning and Zoning Committee if anyone's interested.
I would love to serve in that capacity.
I guess can I get a motion to approve the Blacktooth Major Subdivision preliminary plat?
Yeah. I think based on what we've heard, that the preliminary plat is not a giant move on our part. So I would move approval of the preliminary plat, and it'll be subject to the Planning Commission's amendments, if you will, and approval.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And we'll move forward. We'll move back to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Council, next item on the agenda is the pool concessionaires agreement with Lickety Splits. This is the same as it was last year in the amount of $500 for the pool season. Can I get a motion to approve the pool concessionaires agreement?
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Go to the pool and get your ice cream.
Not yet.
Oh, close. Talk about that a little bit later. Next on the item on the agenda is the Chamber of Commerce for the Fair and Rodeo Parade request.
I met last week, and we kind of finalized our parade route due to the Buffalo, Wyoming construction work that's taking place. And we do have in place a plan A and a plan B should the plan A or the work north of Fort should be open by July 19th. We'll go with our original parade route, which would be going up Main and turn on Fort, or I'm sorry, on Hart, and turn, actually they go under the past, the past, and then come back. That would be the plan B. Our plan A, and this is going to take quite a bit of work on their part, because we're closing and blocking off quite a bit of roads and detouring for this. I guess our plan A would go through until July 19th is kind of what we decided.
We decided the 19th would give us 2 weeks to see if that construction maybe moved forward a little sooner than they thought. We'd get an idea of what Main Street would look like. Would it be safe to be able to run floats and people have on the sidewalks as long as there's not a giant hole on the side of the road, right? That's the last thing we need. So we decided that 2 week period would give us enough time to then go back. You know, let the community know, you know, that, hey, we're to go back to the original route. But we needed a hard line, and I think 2 weeks would give us enough time to get the word out, for me to get the manpower in place and what we need to, you know, to go back to our original plan. And right now, like Amber said, we're going to just have that parade turn on Fort Street, come up to Burritt, come back south down Burritt towards the park. So Angus and Burr would be the end of the parade, the viewing area. That would allow us to use Brzezinski Park for folks that want to watch and get there early. There would be no parking on Main Street. We would set that up the night before, just like we do now. We'd also have no parking on Fort Street and no parking on Burritt on the parade route. We would ensure that that's blocked off. Like Amber said, we're looking at least 14 officers, 34 barricades, and some other hard targets that we need to be blocked. I met with Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Office. They've said that they would be willing to help us out with manpower. It is going to take a lot of work and a lot of commitment from our community to kind of understand. We'd like to get as much information out as we can now. So, you know, that's with your approval, of course. But that's the ultimate plan. And again, if we can get that back to the original route, we would love that. But right now, I think this is going to work best with traffic that's going to be coming off the mountain. We would shut down anything eastbound, you know, at, we would allow Klondike to remain open. We would turn all traffic north onto Carrington. Carrington's a really wide road, so any folks that are coming down, trailers, campers, trucks, would be able to get around that parade route with some ease instead of going through some tight side streets. So that was one reason why we were going to allow some of that traffic to continue eastbound and then turn that one Carrington. But again, that's going to require officers, people there to see what's going on. So we've talked to Kevin as well, and there might be a little hiccup in the beginning. The normal route was usually around the dentist office on South Main is where we would usually line up. That's all going to be a one-lane highway at that time because of a culvert that's being put in up by the lodge. So we talked about staggering how we're going to line up, and we're going to just shut that normal route down. Hopefully we can make that happen. I've talked to the principal at the middle school. We're going to utilize his parking lot. So as the parade ends on Angus, we can get folks out to the parking lot at the middle school where they can stage cars, whatever we can do to try to alleviate some traffic to get it out of that area so that, one, the parade doesn't back up, and two, we can get as many people out of that area as possible. This year, we would also shut everything down at 9 o'clock. So we're talking 1 hour before. Usually, you know, we have the no parking, but we wait about 15 minutes before we shut everything down. This year, we're going to give us a solid hour to see what holes we may have and what we need to fill. So that's ultimately the plan. So,
I do. No, you're
good
fine.
Job.
Thank you. I do have a map here that we'll post on all of our socials. We would ask the city and the county to kind of help us out with sharing that map, just so that if we do go with the plan A, the new parade route, that everybody is aware. We're just going to put all the logistics together as far as their parade floats and all the things where for all the entries, make sure that they have all that as well as this map. But I kind of want Officer Chief Bissette to look this over first before we get it out on socials. And then I'll send you guys a copy of kind of the logistics along with the map, so you can post both of those. We'll make them shareable in a PDF for you guys, but we just wanted to start now because we know how change, and this is going to be huge closing for a lot of people and a lot of density for housing and stuff like that. So we just don't want somebody to be stuck at 9 o'clock and they can't get out. But that would be great if you guys could share these once I have Chief look this over and okay it. So.
And all phone calls go to the chamber.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions about that, guys?
Deal with the paper too.
Yeah. Yeah, we're utilize everybody
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, I think you need council approval to share the streets now.
Yep. I'll make a motion to approve the revised Ferrovial Parade route with the be cut off date of July 19th. Possibility of going back to the original route with chamber and police department's consent.
I'd second it.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Happy fair and rodeo.
Thank you.
August 2nd at 10 a.m. And the theme is
Stars, Stripes, and Spurs.
Okay. Reports. Legal, Mr. Kirby.
Mayor and Council, I have no report. Do you have any questions?
Don't have any questions for you. Mr. Acey.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm just going to give you a quick summary of our dump days. This year we had a little over 40 tons of trash hauled out to the dump. In the dump days, 31 refrigerators. People have been holding on to some refrigerators. And that all costed the city $3,787.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Chief Bissett.
Mayor, Council. So I finally got our numbers for April. Sorry for the delay. So in April, we did have 2,335 calls into our 911 center. Of those, we had 627 incidents that our officers handled with 11 arrests. One case of note, during the course of April and May, we did have an investigation involving a juvenile. Some information was discovered on the phone by a parent. Some very concerning information. I can't really get too much detail on that. However, that information was brought to us. Our officers, along with the assistance of the county attorney, made some predicated phone calls to our suspect. We were able to get a lot of really good evidentiary information off of those conversations as we posed as our victim, so much so that we actually had that person come out to meet us, which time he was placed under arrest, and thankfully so, because I do believe we prevented a tragedy from happening. So kudos to all the officers involved, our child protection team and the county attorney. It was a phenomenal case. Again, I wish I could get into details, but unfortunately I cannot. So that was in our month of April. In the month of May, we had 2,683 calls into 911 with 774 incidents. So as you can tell, warmer weather, things are picking up with 9 arrests involving that. So that's our summary for the last 2 months, but we're full on the road, we're full on dispatch. The guys are doing great work, and the men and women are doing phenomenal work. So with that, I would love to answer any questions.
I don't have any questions, but I want to thank you and your team, primarily Officer Knapp and Officer Morrison. So besides all the other work that you do, you guys do respond to medical calls.
Yep.
When we have them, and we had one, and I was on the ambulance call for it, and before we got there, you and your team had already initiated CPR on the young lady and were able to deploy the AED and did a phenomenal job because she is in Billings and she is off the ventilator and she is doing much, much better. So you guys saved a life, and I think the public needs to know that you're there for more than speeding tickets and barking dogs. And
hey, Mayor, I'd like to ask something to that, too, if you don't mind. As a career special agent. Chief Bissett and his folks are doing a fantastic job. I will tell you that I worked for many years along some of America's finest, to include the FBI and the CIA, and the quality of people and the training that this town has invested in their officers. I have lived all over the world and served with the best, and I will tell you that the officers you have in this town are truly some of the most professional I've ever had an ability to interact with.
Thank you.
We know that.
Well, we appreciate that, and again, today's actually a 25-year anniversary that I first started my law enforcement career, so a good way to end that. But
it's
a great place to be, and like Lou said, you know, we do appreciate your support, and we can't do the job we can do without that equipment. And that's why, you know, when I say, and you guys don't question, give us the equipment we need. But that's a team effort too, Mayor. You're there, our EMS is there, our hospital staff, our nurses, our doctors. That lady is alive today because we all work together, and nobody really needs, you know, I love the fact that our officers are recognized and I'm recognized, and it's a great feeling. It never gets old that when you save a life, and hopefully I get to see her and shake her hand and give her a hug. But I can't do it alone. I can't do it without you. I can't do it without everybody here, and I can't do it without the support of our city. So to know that we all work together is huge, right? It's a team effort, and that's a team win. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Kevin.
No report? Questions?
Don't have any at this time. Mr. Brand.
Mr. Mayor and Council, I really don't have much. Main Street's continuing. They're making new holes. Back to the old holes. So I'm glad I don't have to wear a parade route.
Are there any oral or written comments? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Christine Duvillar. I spent the last 3 days walking around our town passing out the summer restaurant hours guide, and I just wanted to speak on behalf of a retailer downtown who explained to me that she's very concerned about the grates that are up out of the holes where the trees are, and she wanted to know if I knew what was going on. And of course, I said, why'd you come to the city council meeting tonight? But she couldn't make it. I just wanted to see if there was any information on, she felt they were a hazard for the tourists, for herself. And actually, one of the trash cans, the old ones that we've had here forever, is sitting out in the middle of the sidewalk, right across the street, out in front of Paisanos. She's worried about the hazard for people tripping or falling. And if I could convey something on behalf of whoever knows what's happening with those, or when they're going to be fixed or placed in a more secure way so that they're not a hazard to the pedestrians.
I don't have an answer for you on that tonight. But
I will tell her that.
Mm-hmm. On when it'll get fixed.
Yeah. There's a number of them that are lifted up like that, and kind of a on it. I'm sure other people have noticed. Yeah. Okay, I'll follow up with her mom and let her know that I did ask.
Yep. Thank you for asking. Are there any other oral or written comments?
Hello again. I'm here. I don't know if you guys have met, but this is Jessica Legs, our executive director here. She's just here with me to kind of, she's in her office and runs all the things there. But I just kind of wanted to give an update on the chamber and let you know things are happening, and it is our busy season, of course, as well as our tourism season. Memorial Weekend, we opened up the Satellite Center, so that was super exciting. We also have it very well manicured. It looks great out there, and we've already having visitors, and people are out there. Jim and Laura are the two employees out there, and they give all the information as far as what's closed, what's open, where to park, the Crazy Woman Canyon. They have all of that information and all of the resources out there to guide and to direct, to keep people in our town, to just provide all of the extra things for them to do. So we're super excited to have them. That is 7 days a week from 9 to 5. And they have been there. One of them has been with us for 10 years, and the other one very close to that. So we're super excited to have them. They're very knowledgeable and have all kinds of information. If there's any information that any of the community members would like them to have, we would be willing to share that information as well. Our Wednesday market, we're super excited to have that. It starts tomorrow, and it's back at the Crazyland Square, so we're super excited. We have close to 20, 30 maybe entries, and we have a little bit more. I feel like we've got a really good ground on this. We've got things set out. We have a community or a coordinator, director, Catherine, who we're super excited to have. She'll be there on our behalf because we have nights, too, that we like to enjoy with our families. So she's going to take that on, and that's from 5 to 7 tomorrow, every Wednesday from here until Labor Day-ish.
And we'll have fresh produce this year and live music.
Yeah. So just to kind of bring that live, make that exciting for everybody and for the businesses, because, well, the road construction is moving its way out. Let's see. We hosted in April Wyoming State Conference, which was all of the state conference, or all of the leaders from the state of Wyoming here in Buffalo we hosted, which went really, really well. It was a really proud moment for Buffalo to kind of showcase all of what we have here, which is a ton. And everybody was super excited. We went and toured all kinds of different places, so that was super exciting. We do have a business after hours, which is at the Gatcha Museum. They have a new expo that they're opening, which is the 4th, which is tomorrow, actually. Business after hours at the Gatcha Museum at 5:30. If I need 4 to 6. Oh, sorry, my notes are wrong. That's why I have her here. From 4 to 6. And they're excited to open that up. So if you guys want to come join for that, that's great. We do have a full calendar of all of our business before and after hours that we're super excited for. And we're always here to support our local community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other oral or written comments? Oral or written comments? Hearing none. Next city county meeting is July 17th at 7 a.m. here at City Hall. June, excuse me. I'm in July already. City Council meeting, June 17th at 5 p.m. City Hall. Planning and Zoning Board meeting, June 24th at 1 p.m. here at City Hall. And excitement is the city outdoor pool tentatively opens on July 9th, weather pending.
June.
Why am I stuck on July?
It'll be warmer then.
Yeah, maybe. There we go. I want it to be July again. And can I get an approval of the bills as presented?
So moved.
I have a motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further comment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Council, is there anything else to be brought before? Hearing none, can I get a motion to adjourn?
I would move we adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry in Buffalo. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.